In John chapter number 7, I want to begin reading verse number 37. It's good to be in God's house this morning. John 7, verse 37 says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." John chapter 10 and verse number 10 also Jesus making this declaration says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Amen. You can be seated again this morning. I want to share with us the outflow of life. Amen. John chapter 7, Jesus Christ made his way to the feast. He had went incognito, so to speak. He didn't go when everybody else went. He went a little bit later. But as that feast began to close, he stood up and began to speak. And he began to share, once again, some truths of the kingdom of God that everybody didn't understand. You'll notice as you read the Gospels that a lot of the things that Jesus Christ shared as he walked the face of this earth, people did not understand. They could not comprehend it. It was something new to them, something foreign to them. And this was no different on this day when Jesus began to speak and he began to share. And of course, John gives us the understanding of it as he's writing this gospel, because this is post-resurrection. This is after it all has transpired. And John then goes ahead and inserts what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, that river of water, that river of living water. Everything about Christ is life. Everything about Christianity is life. And I realize where there's life, then your counterpart is death. For you and I to have life, there had to be death. Jesus Christ died that you and I could live. You and I maintain life by dying daily. Amen. They go hand in hand. But what I'm after here this morning is that as a child of God, as a born again believer, as a spirit-filled believer, there is an outflow that's going to come from our lives. It is going to be something that eventually will become automatic. Amen. A lot of times as God begins to move and work in our lives, it's not automatic. It's a desperate press towards getting it accomplished. A battle, a fight, a warfare. The battle of the Christian life, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. But brothers and sisters, there does come a point in time when the Spirit of God is going to rule and reign. Hallelujah. It does not always have to be a continual conflict in the same areas of our lives. There's always going to be conflict because our lives are changing. We are growing. We are coming to greater light and more truths of the kingdom of God. But those things that we have already learned, those things that we have already obtained, we should be walking in them. Hallelujah. And there should be an outflow going on in our lives that everyone else around us is going to notice. Everyone around us is going to see, because it is the glorifying of God and the praising of God and the magnifying of his name because of this outflow of life. You see, Jesus Christ came to bring us life, but not just a trickle. Not just a little bit. He came to bring us and give us an abundant life. He came to give us a river of life. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. See, this is why there is such a vastness to Christianity, a vastness to the kingdom of God. This is why Christianity, there's never a dull moment. Hallelujah. If you are living for God, then you are on the road. You are on the battlefield. You are running the race. And there is something new going on every day of your life. Hallelujah. And it's called joy. It's called peace. And it's called power. And it's bringing victory to the things that I encounter. And the things that I meet. Hallelujah. Praise be to God, because it is the outflow of the life of Christ. Jesus Christ is the victor. And everything he's going to produce in me is victory. Hallelujah. And this is what he's after in my life. He gave us the understanding, if my life does not have outflow of the things of the kingdom of God, then somewhere the enemy's gotten the door. For it is the enemy that wants to suppress. It's the enemy that wants to steal. It's the enemy that wants to kill. It's the enemy that wants to destroy. And the synonyms could go on and on and on. It's the enemy that wants to distract. It's the enemy that wants to divert. It's the enemy that wants to depress. It's the enemy that wants to discourage. That's nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You'll never find Jesus Christ discouraging anyone. But always encouraging them to life. Hallelujah. I realize there's always the counterpart. To encourage to life means there's something that's got to be left behind. Something we got to leave and let go of. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for a child of God to do, is let go of something that is doing nothing but destroying them, spirit, soul, and body. Sad to say, it's like individuals who get the doctor's report and the doctor tells them, all right, this is what's got to change if you want to maintain life. And they go home, throw the doctor's orders in the trash, and say, I'm going to live life the way I want to. That's fine. That's your prerogative. And it's the same way with God. God says this is what will bring life. And we go home, wad it up, throw it in the trash, say, I'm going to live life the way I want to. That's fine. God won't come and hit you with a lightning bolt. It's just one day when you do wake up and you stand before God, he'll bring it to your attention again when he's judging you. You see, God's just that way. He'll tell us, he'll show us, but he ain't going to make us have life. But he says, I'll give it to you more abundantly. You can have the greatest life you could ever have, because I will bring it to you. I'll give you an abundant life, an outflow of life. Hallelujah. You see, these are some things, some characteristics that I'm going to share with us this morning that show forth that Jesus Christ is flowing in our lives. And there's an outflow in our life. Hallelujah. Of the Spirit of God, of the Word of God, of the things of God. For any time Jesus Christ is ruling, reigning, or on the scene, there is an outflow of life. But any time we are listening to the lies of the enemy and not wise to the tactics of the enemy, then that is going to be suppressed, repressed, moved away from. There's just certain things that are there when Jesus is there. I mean, everywhere he went, what did he do? Woo, praise our God. All we got to do is look at the Gospels. Everywhere Jesus went, he did nothing but good. Hallelujah. And he touched those that needed help. And he ministered unto them. And Brother Clendon made a statement there Thursday night of the reality of the power of God. And how that the Spirit of God is always working to the reality and the glorifying of God. Because everything Jesus did, yes, it was good to mankind, but it also glorified the Father. See, that's what you're after in your life. This is what I'm after in my life, is that whatever I lay my hand to, I do it with all my might, and I do it for the glory of God, not the glory of me. See, this is where so many get messed up and crossed up and fall out, as they start doing all what they do for the glory of me, so you can see what I have done. It's called self-righteousness. And we know that's as filthy rags. The righteousness of Christ is when I submit, surrender, and allow that life to flow through me. Amen. In Psalm chapter number 50, verse number 23, the psalmist says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." There's one thing we want to try to understand about God as we're walking with him. He is always worthy of praise. He's always worthy of thanksgiving. Praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth conversation aright, in other words, that individual who will walk in the ways that God has showed him, God will always show him more. Woo, hallelujah. This is just God's promise. This is just God's word. To him that ordereth his conversation, that word conversation means life. The way that you live. Hallelujah. Not just the words that you say. The way that you live. Hallelujah. That's what that word conversation means. And so if I'm living right, that means God will always be right there showing me more. Always be leading me into greater, greener pastures, if I can put it like that, of the 23rd Psalm. You see, God's wanting to bring that abundance of life. And as I'm walking in that newness of life and have that outflow of life and have that outflow to praise to glorify God, and I'm walking the way he wants me to walk, he'll just bring more. More. That's what abundant means. More. More and more. Hallelujah. Never get to the place where you think you have arrived at Christianity. Because the moment you think you have arrived, you just backslid. Woo. Hello. No, no, no. It's an abundant life. Abundance means continual. Continual. More and more and more. In Colossians, in the New Testament, chapter number 3. Verses 16 and 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." These are commands from the Apostle Paul to the Colossian church. And he's saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This is a counterpart to what we just read in Psalms chapter 50. He that ordereth his conversation aright. Amen. Hallelujah. What is that? The word of Christ dwelling in you richly, teaching and admonishing. And this is something I want you to notice here this morning of how the teaching and the admonishing is administered. Because a lot of people don't catch this. They don't get this. The minute they see teaching and admonishing, they just automatically think Sunday school and preaching. That's not what it says. It's not what the Word of God says. What the Word of God says is teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Psalms were written for singing. Hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that means to glorify him, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Notice here, the outflow of life is going to be found in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's a way of teaching also. That's a way of admonishing also. A lot of folks get narrow-minded and they think it's all just in the preaching. It's all just in the teaching. Brothers and sisters, it's all in life. Hallelujah. And whether you're singing or whether you're preaching or whether you're teaching, it is all to be done to the glory of God and for the strengthening of the saints, and so that I will have avenue to give that praise that's flowing up from my soul by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You see, we got to understand that God leaves no part of our vessel untouched, unchanged, or unused. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. He wants all. Can you find somewhere in the Bible that will not require you to give all? That means I got to give my voice. I got to give my heart. I got to give my emotions. This is an area most people don't want to give. They don't mind giving their mind. They don't mind giving their labor. They don't mind giving their might. They don't mind giving everything else, but don't expect me to get emotional in church. I'm sorry. God expects it 100%. Hallelujah. You see, because it's why? It's part of you. And if you suppress it, hello. Now, let me back up here. Who comes to suppress? Who comes to depress? Who comes to steal? Who comes to kill? Who comes to destroy? But who comes to give praise? Who comes to give thanksgiving? Who comes to bring rejoicing? Ooh, hello. The minute I try to suppress rejoicing, I am suppressing and I am giving way to the enemy. Because he doesn't want rejoicing in my heart. He doesn't want rejoicing in my mind. He doesn't want rejoicing seen from me. Because he'd rather me worship him by not doing it. Woo! Hello! Come on now, church. You got to realize there's more to Christianity than meets the eye. And there's more to Christianity than the logical mind will ever understand. Woo! There's life. There's an outflow of life. A river of living water coming from the throne room of God, coming into my life with expectations of it flowing out of my life. Hallelujah. And that's what we're after. That's what God's after. That's what God desires in his people. You see, God desires the praise, the thanksgiving, the worship, the rejoicing, and God requires the walking. He requires it all. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave one stone unturned, if you will. Praise God. He looks under every one of them. And so it's up to me then to begin to walk in the light that he has given unto me and he has brought to my path. And as I walk therein, I will walk uprightly and there will be an outflow. There'll be an outflow. You're the light. I'm the light. There's got to be an outflow for light. A light bulb will never produce light until it gets an outflow of electricity. Amen. It can be a light bulb all day long, but until it gets the power source flowing through it. I'm not fully 100% how all that actually works, but I do know that electricity flows. I know you got to have the positive and you got to have the common. And when that positive and that common are hooked together in a light bulb, what do you get? Light. Light. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, we've got to have that source, that river of life, that outflow of life. In other words, an outflow. That means it needs to be seen. I can't just say, I've got it. Because anybody I've ever encountered, if you say you have something, their next statement is, prove it. Show me. How do I know you've got it? Uh-huh. Well, God's no different really in that circumstance, in that situation, because he wants me to show it. That's what it's saying. We've got to admonish one another, teaching one another. I mean, how am I going to teach somebody if I do not show it? Teaching is not just words. How many know the scripture that says, train up a child in a way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it? Now, is that just sharing words with him of knowledge? Mm-mm. That's showing them how it's done. Showing them. You know, a lot of times, I personally am the type of individual that when you buy a piece of kit furniture or something that needs assembled, I usually just lay the instructions over to the side. Or I look at it, and I look at all the pictures, and then I lay it to the side, and I go put it together. Show me. Show me how to do it. If I don't know how to do something, I like to go stand over the shoulder of somebody that does and watch them do it. And once I've watched them do it, I'll be right down there. And I'll do it too. I see it, then I can do it. Amen. You see, that's something that really, really sparked in my Christianity, because I didn't really listen a lot of times to the words that were being said. I started looking to see if they were living what they said. Found out too many times they weren't. And then I found out a whole lot of times they were. And I saw what it brought forth when you lived what you preached. Woo, hallelujah. It brought power. It brought life. It was the outflow of that river of God. Hallelujah. You see, it's not enough to take it in. You got to let it flow. It's got to flow. Hallelujah. Psalm 150. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I'm after this morning is the reality that outflow is a manifestation of what's coming in. Outflow of life is the manifestation of the life that I possess. Hallelujah. I don't want to just bottle it up and let it just be for me. I want it to flow out because that's what God wants it to do. Hallelujah. He wants it to flow out of me in all the facets and the ways that he has created me to function. Amen. He's created me to have joy. He's created me to rejoice. He's created me to praise. He's created me to sing. He's created, and when I'm saying me, I'm talking about mankind. He's created man to do that. And he wants man then to take that and give it wholly unto him, so that it can be that outflow of the life that he's bringing into me. Amen. And so we notice here that this is praise. This is singing. I mean, this is worshiping. This is playing musical instruments. This has to do with song, spiritual songs and singing and hymns. And you know, this is praising God in music and in song. And it happens to be the very last psalm in the book of Psalms, which means it's the very most important thing that he wants you to know, because that's where he stopped, right there. And of course, the book of Psalms is just, there's teaching all through it, but when you get to the end of it, basically you're finding out what's going on in heaven, because that's what's going on there too. Praise our God. And that's why he says he wants it going on here just like it's going on there. And so that's why I've got to have that outflow, so that I can have going on here what's going on there. You will find that everything of the spiritual kingdom of God pertaining to our Christianity, our Christian life, our gathering into this sanctuary is a total replica of what's going on in heaven. Hallelujah. And the worship that's going on there. How many remember reading that when one sinner gets saved, that all the angels of heaven begin to rejoice? And to rejoice doesn't mean... Oh, that's great. That's fine. To me, that's not rejoicing. Rejoicing means an expression of love, an expression of joy, a gratitude. Hallelujah. They begin to lift their voice and they begin to rejoice and magnify God. They give of their emotion whatever they've been created to do. They do it with all their might. Woo, hallelujah. Why is it that we reserve ourselves? You ever thought about that? Why do we reserve ourselves in certain things, and in other things, we just go crazy? Why do we do that? Well, number one, we're human beings. We've been created with logic. And so whatever we deem logical to get into and express ourselves in, we do. And we don't think it's necessary. No. Why waste my energy on that? That's called humanity. That's called human beings. That's not called spirituality. That's not the way of the kingdom of God. The way of the kingdom of God is I don't take logic to the table. I take my spirit, my soul, and my heart and put it in his hands to let him do with as he will. This is the hardest part of Christianity, is stepping past that logical barrier. Doesn't mean being dumb, doesn't mean not studying, doesn't mean taking advantage of every knowledge, bit of knowledge you can find. That's not what I'm talking about. The more you study, the better off you're going to be, the more God can use. Hello. Hallelujah. Because don't count on your studying that that's what's going to get it done. Because what's going to get it done is the outflow of life, that river of living water, taking what you have put in, that knowledge that you have gained that I got to stop and back up that he gave you. Hello. Praise our God. I mean, Brother Larry Joshua can probably relate to it. I mean, he studied and studied and studied and studied, but yet he knew he was going to need God's help. Amen. I understand that. I understand it a bunch. Hallelujah. And though I've pastored for, 20-some years, I get up every Sunday morning and realize, God, I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need you to take whatever it is that I have and I have gained and you have given to me, and I need to bring it to your people where they can comprehend it, understand it, get a hold of it, and your spirit can bring it alive in them. Woo, and I'm going to have his help to get that done. Because I can't do that. I can't reach into your heart and know your heart. I can't reach into your mind and know your mind. But the Holy Ghost already has been there. Hallelujah. He knows all. And he knows all things about us here this morning. And this message is for us to get a hold of the outflow of the life that he wants to bring, that abundant life that he wants to bring, and not give way to the enemy, but be wise to the tactics of the enemy and allow God to flow through me in praising him and in living for him. And see, this is what these scriptures are bringing forth. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, it says, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, everything about my life needs to be glorifying God. Once again, I cannot overemphasize this, because a lot of times we try to just separate things. So, well, you know, I don't mind doing in this area, you're doing in this area. No. It's just like you cannot separate the fruit of the Spirit. It's all. It's all of them. It's not nine different ones. It's the fruit. It's just like that's the definition of an apple. You know, you got your stem, you got your seed, you got your core, you got your skin, you know, all that's still an apple. Well, the Holy Ghost. Well, all the Holy Ghost is love, joy, peace. You get in the picture. You don't separate out, I can really thrive in this area. Well, you're thriving in that area. You're not letting God have his way. I mean, anybody can thrive in an area they're good at. God's not wanting you to be good at it. He's wanting you to be submitted to him, surrendered to him, flowing in him. Hallelujah. And when you allow that, it'll be an abundant life. And you may not think you're good at it, because you will find when God's usually having his way, you don't think you're good at it. Woo, but it's God having his way. Hallelujah. You know, I've got up after preaching some messages, and I said, man, that seemed like the worst message I ever preached. And then everybody I talked to said, man, that's the best message you ever preached, Brother Pepper. And I'm thinking, how in the world did they think it was the best, and I thought it was the worst? I think that was one of them times that I got completely out of the way. Oh, yeah. Completely out of the way, and just allowed God to do what he wanted and went past what I thought and was just ministering to the needs of the people. Hallelujah. And then because I didn't think of it, it just flowed out of me. And I'm thinking, man, that was a downer. That was not good. Why? Because I wasn't in control of it. He was. And the words that flowed were what he brought, not what I put down on a note. Amen. Don't misunderstand me. I'm all for notes. I've used notes my entire preaching time. I use notes just like this right here, printed right off of a printer. Ever since I started preaching, I've used this type of an outline. Amen. But when I get up here, you'll notice the only time I go there is when I read the scripture to you. Because I'm after outflow. I'm after the message for you and me this morning. and I know this is the message, but I know there's far more to it than what I can comprehend. And so I'm always waiting for him to bring in the fullness. What's going on? Hallelujah. These are God's word. They cannot be changed at all. And then we begin to build upon it. Amen. To bring the truths alive and expound and bring it fitly, joining together. Hallelujah. So here we are. We're bought with a price. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And our duty and our reasonable service is to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. In other words, what we do, what we think, how we respond to glorify God with our lives. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 5, it says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." In verse number 9 of the same chapter in the same book, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The outflow of praise. Praise is an outflow of thanksgiving. Praise is an outflow of how great God is, his greatness. Praise is an outflow of selflessness. One of the greatest hindrances to praise is selfishness. It is. Because if you're always just thinking about yourself and what you feel and how you feel and whether it feels good to you or feels bad to you or, oh, wow. Hopefully we're not living like that, because that's just the selfish life. But what you're doing is you're living for God, and you are having great reality of who God is. And that just brings praise. That brings rejoicing. That brings thanksgiving. That's why, you know, the song that's been sung so many times, God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing around you. When everything's going wrong, God wants to hear you sing. That's an outflow of life. That's a life that is not looking at circumstances nor moved totally by its circumstances, but is more moved by God, his word, and his spirit than he or she is by our circumstances or his circumstances. Amen. It doesn't mean they're callous. Doesn't mean they're not compassionate. It just means they're heavenly minded and they are more concerned about glorifying God in any circumstance and situation than having it easy. Oh, wow. Woo. That's just Christianity. It's outflow. As that river of God. I can see clearly this morning why Jesus said, "Go ye into Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high." Because there's no way you can have this kind of outflow unless there's power coming into your life to change it. Amen. Got to quit trying to change it ourselves. This is where a lot of Christians really get fouled up and really, really have a hard time and really don't gain any ground because they're trying to do every bit of it by their own logic, by how they think they can get it accomplished. And you're going to find that the way this happens is not by just purposing to do it, but by surrendering to do it. Yeah. Getting to that place where God has more control of you than you do. Some people may disagree with me, and that's fine, but you're not going to find a different message in God's word. Because that's what they needed. That's what the disciples needed. They needed the control of the Spirit of God to take everything Jesus had taught them that they didn't get while he was here. That's the most amazing part about it. You know, all those disciples, they had the greatest teacher. They saw the most power, the most miracles, and he talked to them about all the truths of the kingdom of God, and it's just like they stood there scratching their head, Like, yeah, that's good, Master. Yes, that's good, Master. Oh, that's wonderful. And they had no idea. No reality. But after the day of Pentecost, silver and gold have I none, but what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Didn't even have to think about it, did he? Mm-mm, something different now. Hallelujah. There's power. There's an outflow of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what God's after in our lives. Just as he was in the lives of those disciples, that 120 in that upper room, he was looking for those vessels to become the outflow of life. Hallelujah. That's how we become a witness. That's how we become that light to shine, by the Spirit of God flowing in our lives and bringing forth that truth into fruition, into action. And it all stems back once again to giving myself wholly to the Lord. See, Peter told us, see, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and this is our purpose, to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. See, that scripture gives us the full understanding what praise is. Praise is words coming from our mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's supposed to be coming continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Praise is loaded with thanksgiving. But if you're always looking at the negative, tell me where thanksgiving's going to come in. If you're always complaining, tell me, where's thanksgiving coming in? Thanksgiving doesn't come with negativity or complaining or murmuring. I guess that's why the Bible speaks out against them. Thanksgiving always comes when I'm seeing that God's leading my life, regardless of the circumstances. That's where thanksgiving comes from. That I'm washed, that I'm cleansed, that my name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that God is with me. Hallelujah. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Praise God. He hears me when I pray. He hears me when I cry. He knows what I have need of before I ever ask. Wow. Are you getting the picture? When your mind is dwelling on God's Word and all the truths of God's Word and the promises of God's Word, you're always going to come forth with thanksgiving. His mercies are renewed every day. Are you getting the picture? Hallelujah. Oh, why does this have to happen today? I got news for you. Walked in the church this morning, turned that thermostat down to cool it down in here. Walked into that other side, and it was 79 degrees in there. And the thermostat was set on 76. What does that let you know? That air conditioner wasn't working this morning. You had no idea, did you? Sister Cisneros might have, because it might have been a little bit warmer in there than usual, because it had to pull it down from 80 to whatever it was when you got here. Man. But you walk in there, and what do you do? I mean, do you fall down on the floor, kick your feet, say, "Why is this happening to me?" That was my thought. Air conditioner again on that side? Oh. I didn't need that this morning. So what do? You break out the electric tester. You go check the breakers. You go pull off the little box on the side of the wall that's got the cutoff on it. And there's fuses in there. What do? You check the power. See if you got power. And you know, I could have just went to my office, closed the door, locked it, said, "I'm done for today." Woo! That's just not the way I am. I don't operate that way. And I always strive to not let it affect me. See, you probably had no idea that that all went on this morning. Just the normal, everyday life of a pastor. Oh, you if you only knew. But it's going now. It was a fuse. Just one of the fuses blowed. It's just been one of those summers where air conditioners have been stressed. You're not the only one that's been stressed this summer. So has all the air conditioners. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank the Lord that it's cooler than it was before. Hopefully we've seen all of our hot days of summer and it'd just be normal from here on out. But, you know, if it's not, I'm still going to rejoice. I'm still going to give praise to my God. I'm still going to let the fruit of my lips be thanks to His name. Hallelujah. You see, because all that turned around, I can be thank you, Lord, I had a fuse. Praise God. Hallelujah. Otherwise, they wouldn't be having children's church. Sister Snaros wouldn't want to be in there teaching Sunday school. It's 80 degrees in there. And so, wow, I wouldn't have either. But you see, all that transpired, but is that going to change how I praise my God? Is that going to change how I worship my God? No, I don't like that. I don't like it when things don't go right. Nobody does. But do you still worship? Do you still magnify God? Do you get over it and go on? Hallelujah. Do you allow the Spirit of God to change your mind? Oh, wow. Anybody in here besides me have a hard time changing your mind? Has anybody ever heard the word stubborn? Hard-headed? Those are just terminologies in Oklahoma. I don't know if they're the same terminologies everywhere in the United States, but in Oklahoma, we know what it means to be stubborn and hard-headed and wanting to always have your way, and if it ain't don't go your way, then I ain't have no part of it. It ain't going my way. Woo. What is all that? Well, it ain't rejoicing. It ain't a spiritual mind. It ain't the Holy Ghost, and it ain't Jesus Christ either. That's just me that needs to be dealt with by God. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven has mercy. That's is why you rejoice when the mercies are renewed every day. That's why my grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. That's how I know I'm going to make it through. Even when I struggle, even when I don't do right, even when I don't act right. See, all these things I'm preaching to us today are things that are supposed to be and can be and should be. A lot of times they're not. And that's why we rejoice, because of the grace of our God who comes by once again and says, yes, I know, but here, let's do it again. Even though I fall up, even if it's seven times, Jesus took it farther when he told Peter 70 times seven. How many times are you going to fail in that area? Well, however long you won't get up and run, that's how many times you'll fail. Because failure is not in the vocabulary of the Holy Ghost nor Jesus Christ. It's only in ours and the enemy's. But if you fail, then Jesus' response is get up. Leave it behind and run the race I've set before you. There's grace. There's mercy. But how many times are you going to keep failing and he keeps picking you up? Where is it going to stop? It's going to stop when you stop it. That's the bottom line. How long did you run from God before you got saved? When did your sinning stop? And when did your salvation start? The moment you stopped and asked and received. That's when you were saved. Could you have got saved before that day? Yes, you sure could have. Did you? No, sad to say, I didn't. But the day you got saved, it was why? Because you chose God's salvation. And you received His salvation. That's how you got saved. How do you get your victory? I think you can figure that one out now. Same way you got your salvation. You have to stop. You have to ask. You have to believe. And you have to receive. That's how your victory comes. And then you walk in it. You take what God has given you and you walk in it. You let it become an outflow of life. Whew, hallelujah. Psalms 34, 2 and 3, closing with this morning. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This is what we're after. Sister Pepper's coming back to the piano this morning. We are after this. This is what we must pursue and must be after in our lives, is that what we are doing will exalt Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Will it lift him up? Will it bring glory to his name? Will it bring honor to his name? We've got to keep this on our hearts and on our minds and allow the Spirit of God a continual flow in our lives 24/7. It's not a matter of just doing it from time to time. We want to strive and press that it be a 24/7 occurrence of that light of God shining in our lives, because we never really know when it may be our time to shine. It may be morning, noon, or night. We really never know when God's going to call on us. See, he expects us to just always be ready. We preach about being ready for the rapture, and we got to be ready for the rapture. But are you ready to be used by God? Are you ready to be used by the Spirit of God? Are you ready to let your light shine in that moment of distress? Oh, wow. See, we've got to keep it on our minds, continually praising our God, continually magnifying his name. In other words, it's just something. How many's ever heard the little saying, out of sight, out of mind? I just said it this morning. Sister Pepper moved some of my little notes, put them in a drawer. She told me where the drawer was, told me several times. I said, but you know, out of sight, out of mind. If I don't see them there, I probably won't remember them. That's why they're sitting there. She hates that. I just leave them set there on the cabinet because I know I got to come back to them. I know I got to do them, and I know right where they're at. You know, that's one of my moments when I look and my notes are gone. Panic. Sister Pepper, where'd you do with my notes? Where'd you put my stuff? Well, I was just cleaning up, and I just thought that needed to be moved. Out of sight, out of mind. But you see, we got to keep Christianity on our minds continually. Wherever we're at, wherever we go, even if we're by ourselves, it's called integrity. Hallelujah. Little story in Sunday school about the nurse. That was very interesting. Integrity. If everybody else is going the wrong way, which way are you going? The right way. Everybody else is doing it the wrong way. Which way are you going to do it? The right way. The way that will bring glory to my God. I do want you to understand that when you live your life bringing glory to God, it will be noticed by men. And they will want you as part of their team. But you're already on a team. You're on God's side. Hallelujah. And you will work for their team, but that's not where your power comes from. That's not where your determination comes from. That comes from your God and the team you're on with him. Hallelujah. And that you're serving him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you are determined to have outflow coming from your life. Your voice lifting up his name. His word, his ways, rejoicing, magnifying his name, and walking the walk, living the life. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Glory to the King. Let's stand to our feet this morning.